All right. Well, hello. My name is Pierce, and I'm joined here today by my good friend, my former youth pastor for three formative junior high years, and our current executive pastor of operations, Richard Covington.
Hello.
As well as the man of the hour, the week, the moment, the man of the moment, our senior pastor, Gary Singleton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. So if you were here on Sunday, you saw that it wasn't just an ordinary Sunday, but it was a celebratory Sunday in which we got to celebrate with the Singleton family 25 years of faithfulness here at the Heights Church. Gary, I'm going to cut straight to it. I'm not going to lie. 25 years is a really long time. That's 75% of my life. Wow. You came in 99, correct?
I did come in 1999.
This is off to a great start.
Yes.
The goal of this podcast is for me to retain employment.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so 1999 was a long time ago. In fact, did you know that that was the year the euro was introduced?
I did not know that, but thank you.
Sure. Napster Music also debuted. SpongeBob premiered.
Oh, wow.
You know how much a gallon of gas cost?
$2.50.
$1.22. Uh-oh. 25 years is...
That's a long time.
Yeah. 75% of my life. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
As well as the winner for Grammy Award Best New Artist, this is my favorite, was none other than Christina Aguilera.
Wow.
Was coming on the scene. So that's kind of a long time. But here's what I would love to know is if you can reach back into the reservoir of your memory. It's 1999. Mm-hmm. You're in the Valley. You're in McAllen, Texas. Mm-hmm. Walk us through the process of... Sure, coming here to the Heights, but really, what drew you towards this place?
It's a great question. Hey, let me just first just take the liberty to say thank. I want to thank the church. This past Sunday was just amazing. It was so encouraging, and man, just I loved the focus on discipleship. I loved David's message. I loved the worship. I loved just everything about this past Sunday. So encouraging. I left here, Kim and I did, just so blessed. Yeah. And so I'm very, very grateful for the church, and grateful for the celebration. So, anyone listening, just know, thank you. I'm deeply grateful and honored to get to serve here for 25 years. And now as to your question, you know, trying to go back 25 years is getting more and more difficult, but I'll do my best to remember. No, honestly, Kim and I were really in the midst of just putting down roots. We had been in the Valley for 8 years, and we were in the process literally of building a home. Thankfully, we had not broken ground. We were still in the phase. We had bought the lot and we had moved into a rent house. Talk about God's providence. We had sold our home, moved into a rent house, and we were drawing up plans for a house that we were going to build. And because we wanted, wherever Megan started high school, that's our oldest child, we wanted Taylor to finish high school. And that's, we had to ask the Lord for that. And we just trusted that the Lord was going to do that for us. And we assumed it was going to be in the Valley. During that season, though, I just started getting a number of churches that were reaching out to me. And it was so easy at first to just tell them, no, we're good.
Yeah.
And we just loved the Valley. We loved our friendship. Friendships there. You know, when your kids are young and they grow up with other kids, and then you just become, you know, friends with those families, and the Valley is so far away. Back then, it'd take about 10 hours if you're really, really moving fast to get from the Valley up, you know, to see family. All of our families from up here in North Texas. And so we had family down there. I mean, and we wanted to be down there, but these other churches started kind of calling. And at first I was like, no, you don't want us. And the truth is we didn't want to go to those other churches. Right. But as they kept, a number of churches kept reaching out, different ones, then it forced Kim and me both to go, okay, God, are you doing something here? And that just created some uncertainty, like, okay, God, we're not going to dictate to you where we are going to serve. And so we're open. And so then it just it's about that time that the Heights reached out to us, and we said, okay, we're happy to pray and look and listen. And we came up here, and there was just a sense of, hey, this is where God is calling us to go. And we knew if the Heights invited us to come, that we were going to. And just looking back again, just think about it. We're living in a rent house. We had sold a home. We hadn't broken ground. Only God could do it, you know, like that, where we were in the perfect place. So it's God's timing and just a sense of, wow, this is where God's calling us to.
That's awesome. Yeah. I remember, because your youngest son, Taylor, and I were the same age, and I've been here my entire life. I remember such the pressure of like arranged friendship from mm-hmm. my parents.
Yeah.
Where I think we met you guys at that, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is now, what it was then, but that Red Brick Hotel off Campbell yeah. at 75 and mm-hmm. showing up into the lobby there and just like having like that nervousness of almost mm-hmm. like a, I didn't know it then, but like a first date where it's like, mm-hmm. my parents have basically told me I have to like him. And if I don't like him, then this man's not going to come and I'm going to get in the way of like the kingdom of God. It was just, I remember such pressure. And that,
yeah.
Richard, you've obviously worked with Gary for how many of his 25 years?
21.
21 years. And yep. so in a couple different capacities, I mentioned
yep.
As a student pastor. And one day I would love to get to do this with you because I have a cool story of just the Lord bringing me peace and comfort whenever I first saw you on the stage announce to students. But this is about Gary. So 21 of the 25 years, what's it been like? What's it like to work with Gary? You know, you and I have the luxury, and I really do mean it, a luxury of getting to see him 30, 40 hours a week, 40, mm-hmm. 45 hours, not 30, excuse me. But show us a little bit behind the veil. I mean, what is it like to work with this man and to pursue the kingdom of God with him?
It's very interesting. Very interesting. It's honestly been an honor.
Yeah.
You know, I remember so many conversations, some that I won't share, you know, in this podcast setting that I've had with Gary, but some great times. Like I remember traveling to Africa with Gary on a mission trip. We've also traveled to the Philippines together. I remember one time we were at a hotel in Kenya and he got really sick. And you remember that?
I do.
And we were all having dinner or something, and he got up, and then one of the hotel staff came over to us and says, "I think you want to go check on your other party member. He's not doing so well." Gary is fun to travel with, and it's fun to take care of him. You know, there's lots of little idiosyncrasies about Gary. He loves to start meetings on time. He yeah. loves to end meetings on time.
And yeah. start podcast on time.
Yes. Podcast on time, right?
So we won't talk about who was late today.
Don't you worry but about it wasn't that. Me. Don't no. you worry about that. But you always know that you are talking too long if he starts looking at his watch.
Don't and give so, away those secrets.
Listen, just if you are ever at a lunch with Gary and he starts looking at your watch, you might want to just go ahead and land the plane. He's ready to move on. But honestly, one thing I can say about Gary is that he's always been the same.
Yeah.
And he's always been rooted in his relationship with Jesus Christ, focused on his relationship with Christ. And he's honestly the same behind closed doors as he is in public. And so it has been an honor to serve with a man who has been extremely stable and has been extremely committed to the Lord. And there has never been a question about this man's integrity, and there has never been a question as far as the direction he is wanting to lead our staff or to lead our church.
Yeah. Hmm. And we heard Dr. Cook from DBU say it on Sunday, but the average tenure of a senior pastor in Southern Baptist Convention is 5 years. Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said three.
Three? Mm-hmm.
That seems short, but yeah.
Well, compared to 25 years, it is. And I think, you know, on the mention of just consistency, I remember grown up in his house with just the fourth child, I felt like. And then working here and thinking like, okay, he's going to be different to work around. But honestly, it's so funny, and that's now getting distant for me, but it's really not. Like, the man is the same around his family, at home, and his marriage, at least what I observed many years ago. There is a consistent thread through him, and it goes all the way up to the pulpit. I mean, if you've had a conversation with Gary, it's about, like, hearing him preach. And I mean that in a very, very good way, and so I totally agree with that. And the other thing I thought is just the availability.
True.
Any staff member, and any congregant for that matter, you know, he's happy to meet with, to walk alongside. I think his accessibility, and he would never say it this way, but frankly, for the size of our church is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. You know, I remember on Sunday when we were doing the recognition on the stage, and the church was rightly so honoring Gary and celebrating him and applauding him for him and Kim's service. And they just kept applauding, right? And he looked over at me and he kind of gave me that eye. And the eye was like, okay, land the plane. Like, get them the quick life and we're done with this. And that has always been consistent about Gary. He doesn't want the spotlight on him, right? He wants the spotlight on Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if we're making much to do about a man, it's probably, he probably doesn't even love this podcast, right? Because he doesn't want to make much to do about a man. He wants to make much about Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Our Lord and Savior, right?
Absolutely.
And so the thing that I think of is just, I'm confident that if I follow Gary, he will lead me to Christ.
Yeah.
Like Paul, right? Follow me, follow Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's just been an honor.
There's no question about that. Yeah.
Thank you guys. That's so nice.
Yeah. Well, and we mean it. 99. Did I mention that's 75% of my life? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
So a lot has changed since then. How have you, what has it taken to sort of ride the tide of change? I mean, 99, 2024, culturally, societally, drastically different places.
Yeah.
We've talked about your consistency, but how have you been able to ride that change of tide over the last 25 years while still keeping us so biblically rooted and being a really good reflection of the church and of our community?
Yeah. You know, Pierce, number one, I don't know, you know, if I've done that well. I hope and pray that we as a church have stayed relevant to our community and relevant to really preaching the gospel and reaching the people that are around us. You know, we want to get into the community. We want the community to get into us. And so honestly, what I've focused on is just, okay, I want to preach the word of God. I want to open up scripture. I want scripture to speak into people's lives. I remember because I didn't really grow up in church. I was saved as a kid, went to church for a couple of years with my buddy Wilbur McDaniel, and his dad was the pastor of the little Baptist church where I was saved. But then we moved away from that community, didn't grow up in church. And so when I started seeking the Lord, it was more late high school than in my college years. And so the Bible and God were all a mystery to me because it just, you know, my family's a good family, very moral family. You do what's right, you know, but it wasn't necessarily driven by we're going to read scripture and follow Jesus, right? And so I think my passion has always been to preach and teach the word of God in such a way that the person in the pew can understand it. Because I would go to church and I would listen to sermons and I didn't have a clue what they were saying, much less how it applied to my life, right? And so that's been my real focus. And so I've always wanted to hold on to God and what his word says, but I've always wanted to hold on to people and connect the two.
Yeah.
Because I still picture myself as a teenager, a 19-year-old, sitting out there in the pew going, what in the world is going on?
Right.
And so I think when you're holding on to God, you're going to be heading in the right direction. But when you're holding on to people, then you're always going to be sensitive to, okay, what's going to help people to connect with God? And then that begins to impact worship styles. It begins to impact environments. I mean, you read about how we're all impacted by our environment. Sure. And so you start thinking through environments, facilities, worship styles. You think through, okay, response times and out of, you know, how do people respond to a message? And that kind of drives a next step room. And so I think it's all been driven by, okay, we're going to try to connect people to God. We're going to hold on to God and then try to connect people to Him. And then you just start trying to clear away any barriers that you see. That's kind of up in the clouds answer, but it's honestly what I've done for 25 years.
No, I think that's a really, really good answer. I would say too, and this is, you might agree, disagree, Richard, feel free to jump in. I think there's also been such a humility for you to allow, honestly, young, at times unqualified by some metrics, people to speak into things. Yeah. I remember even, I mean, still to this day, but even early on, just having you asking my opinion, and I'm thinking like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, does he know that I graduated seminary like a week ago and I'm 24 and I'm like, have no idea what I'm doing? Yeah. But I think that you are eager to give away leadership. And really, it's not give away leadership, but it's train and develop leaders.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And so I think that by nature has helped too. And it gives younger folks a voice at the table.
You know, Gary, you're about to say something, but let me say it real quickly. You know, one of the things about Gary is that he is always wanting to make much about Jesus, but also make much about his other staff. Yeah. He's always elevating, yes, encouraging, so giving props to his staff, and he's given multiple people opportunities to lead. I remember in a sermon, you know, planning meeting that we had years and years ago. Maybe it wasn't sermon planning. I can't remember what it was. But one thing that Gary said that has stuck with many of us over the years is he says, I haven't heard what I'm thinking yet.
Yeah.
Right. And that just goes to show you about his shared leadership. He wants to be a part of shared leadership.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it makes it so much fun to work on his team with him and pursue the same mission and vision.
You know, honestly, I ask a 24-year-old what they're thinking because I'm wanting to know what a 24-year-old is thinking, because what does it take to reach a 24-year-old? And unless you're listening to 24-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds, you know, you're not going to be able to do that. I do know that one of the things that has helped me, you know, you and I were kind of talking about what's helped you to stay, you know, in one place for 25 years is I've never, and this is not like false humility, this is just a true confession. Sure. Okay. I never really feel like I'm the smartest guy in the room, because the truth is I'm not, but the smartest thing I've done is I get people around me who are smarter than me. And then we all talk, and then it's amazing how in a collaboration, when you get everyone kind of talking, how you really do at some point, Richard, hear what you're thinking. You know, it's like you didn't know what you were thinking because you didn't have a clue. But by the time you hear a lot of really smart people talk, it's kind of like the cream that rises to the top. And then just pretty well everyone in the room is, before you get to the end of the conversation, everybody's going, oh, well, that's a no-brainer. And then you just, if you're the leader, you just go, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I finally heard what I was thinking. But the truth is, I didn't have a clue, and everybody knows I didn't have a clue. But nobody else in the room necessarily had a clue. Yeah. But you get a 24-year-old in there, and a 34-year-old, and a 54-year-old. You know, you get enough people in the room that are smart, and they can contribute. It's amazing how collaboratively, you know, you can come up with something better than any one person in the room can come up with. And it gives a lot of people ownership in whatever we're doing, because everyone has a say in it. So that's sure, I think, one of the things that's helped me to stay here 25 years is it hadn't been me. It's been us and the team. And I think that makes a huge difference.
No doubt. And that's what we've always had, a history of staff stick around for a while. I mean, 21 years and nine years, which it age 34 is not too shabby, I like to think, compared to some of my millennial contemporaries.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. It's because even if you're associate student pastor, missions pastor, young adult pastor, executive pastor, have the opportunity to teach, you know, fairly regularly, and I think you would say the same thing, I've always felt like I had a voice at the table. I've never felt like, because of my position on an org chart, I can't withhold an idea from Gary. And if he ever knew that you withheld an idea from him, he would not be happy. He encouraged that. It goes back to some of that availability. And definitely, I think that's such a good point about your democratic style of leadership. Is that the right way?
Best idea wins.
Yeah, best idea wins. What are you most proud of? I mean, I know that's such a generic question. Yeah. There's 100 things.
Yeah.
What comes to mind?
You know, when you ask that question, what am I most proud of? Honestly, I go back to discipleship because that was so profound for me, such a revelation to me that my job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Yeah. And then when you start talking about making disciples, baptizing them, and then sticking around and teaching them how to obey all that Jesus commanded them to do, you realize, wait a minute, my job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, but I didn't always have clearly defined what the ministry that I'm to equip them to do is. Hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it's love God, love others. And the best way to love others is actually to make a disciple, that is to share the gospel, and then to baptize them, and that is to connect them to the body of Christ, and then to teach them how to obey. And the idea that every one of us are to own this mission, and God has just given me a passion for challenging every 19-year-old and 29-year-old and 49-year-old and 69-year-old to just say, you know what? Yes, that's the great commission, but that's my mission, and God wants me to own that mission. And whether or not we've been highly, highly effective at getting, you know, or not, what I'm most proud of is that everyone has at least heard.
Yeah.
God has a mission for you, and I'm asking you to own the mission. I feel like I'm owning the mission, and I'm inviting and encouraging others to own the mission. It's my job to make disciples. It's my job to baptize those who are becoming disciples, and it's my job to stick around and teach them how to obey. It's not my job to outsource that to the pastor. It's the pastor's job to equip the saints, but that's the work of ministry that we equip them to. I'm very, very, you know, proud of that. I love that. And then beyond that, I mean, there's just so many things. I mean, you bring up a subject and I'd be going, oh yeah, yeah, I love that. But you know, there's been a sense of unity that I'm very, very proud of. Love God, love others. The discipleship and owning that mission is to me the definition of loving others. I mean, the best definition. Loving God, evidences of loving God is unity in the body. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And so I love that we've moved forward. You can have unity if you just do nothing a lot of times, right? But we've moved forward. We've embraced the mission. We've preached the word of God, but we've done so in a way that there is a sense of unity. There's not been a whole lot of church fights. I pray that there hadn't been a lot of people who've left because of church hurt, or something the church has done. There's been unity in the body. So we've loved God. We've loved each other. And those would be two of the things that I'm most proud of. But gosh, I could keep going. The staff that we have right now is so encouraging to me. Our worship right now, that we're doing two different styles entirely, and people are able to worship the Lord in their heart language. Heights in Spanish is really thriving in this moment, and I am thrilled about that. Honestly, I could go on and on and on. Richard would get on to me if I didn't mention missions. And I feel like we're investing in missions around the world in very strategic ways. Richard has headed that up far more than I have. And so one of the things I'm proud of is Richard and missions. And it's not me that I don't take ownership for that as much. I mean, he's owned it and done it. But I don't know. I could keep going on what am I proud of? What am I excited about? What do I thank God for? Yeah.
I have a feeling I already know the answer to this next question, but I want to ask anyways, what's your hope for the next 25 years at the Heights?
Well, I'm 63. And so,
retirement community or.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Pierce, honestly, the next 4 years, I'm very, very excited about several different things. Yeah. I heard a phrase, I don't know, about 4 months ago, and I've repeated it now about 5,000 times, you know, but a pastor, you know, ought to clean up his own campsite. Yeah. And I am really passionate about, as I see the day coming, approaching, when I will be stepping down as lead pastor, right? My vision is I want that to be a seamless handoff. I if God does it the way I pray God will do it, that there'll be, you know, a teaching pastor in here and I can pass the baton to that person. And so a whole succession process I'm thinking through and praying through and literally already working on. I think there's some things with the facilities that we can do and we're looking at that maybe I could get done in the next 4 or so years easier than a new guy coming in. I think we need to look at governance issues and update our bylaws and we're leading in a process of doing that. And then just we've started Alpha. And we're continuing with discipleship groups, so e-groups or evangelism groups or training people to do an e-group through Alpha and discipleship groups. So I'm passionate about ministry in the e-groups and d-groups. I'm passionate about the facilities. I'm passionate about governance. I think there's some things that we can do to just leave the church in a place where it's just ready to just thrive and go to the next level when God brings the next pastor in. And I want to do that. Beyond the next 4 years, what I pray is that I'll still be making disciples and baptizing and teaching and, you know, those who are becoming disciples, that I'll still be making disciples who are making disciples until the Lord calls me home. I'm passionate about that. I can retire from work, but God's not going to let me retire from the mission that He's given me. And so obviously I want to keep doing that.
That's what I said. I think I know. But it's, I say that because there's no question. I know for a fact that Gary Singleton is going to disciple people probably up until the day that he leads his last breath. At least, you know, I joked in that to. Little, your little retirement community, you're going to be discipling all those young caretakers. Anyways, we'll save that for later. But
yeah, another day.
Gary, I hope it's obvious, not just on public forum, but how much I love you and respect you.
Thank you.
I wanted to do this podcast because I really just wanted to have this conversation with you for my own benefit and ministry development. And I thought other people might enjoy it as well. But it's been an honor to know you for 25 years and to work with you for the last 10.
Yeah, same as well. Quite an honor.
Thank you, guys. I feel the very same way about you guys and the whole team. Thank you for that. Cool.
Well, thanks so much. And if you didn't get to celebrate Gary this last week, he'll be here again this weekend in the pulpit. So as I told the 9:30, make sure you hug his neck because he really loves hugs,
Loves hugs. Hug him tight.
Real tight. But thank you guys. We'll see you later.